And you set an entire time away to retreat from your regular life and encounter Jesus, and it happens. And we think, camp is the best week ever. We think that every single year. Nothing can happen like this in my regular life. It can only happen at camp. Well, I'm here to tell you, it can happen every single day of your life if you set it aside for Jesus. If you say yes to Jesus every single day, your entire life can be like a camp. The encounters that you have at camp do not have to be exclusive to your camp experience. They can be your everyday encounter with the Lord. If you choose to set aside the time and ask God, show up in my life like this every day. We decide to be intentional about our time with Jesus. And so tonight I want to talk about saying yes. The power of saying yes to Jesus. Tonight I'm here to declare that there's a soul-saving power when we say yes to Jesus. To magnify the adventure-giving God. That when we say yes to his instructions, he takes us on a big adventure. Do you want to have an adventure-filled life? Do you want to have a passionate life? Or do you just want to live a mediocre, boring life? Because when I look around this room, I see energy. I see potential energy, kingdom energy. And it's just stored up and it's just I was waiting for a better response on that. That was really flat. Potential kingdom energy. And it's just sitting inside of you guys waiting to be released. And all you have to do is say yes. Yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll say it. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll give it. Yes. Yes to Jesus. And I believe the Lord is looking for a generation of people who are willing to say yes to him. Yes to make him the Lord of their life, not just be his friend. Make him the Lord. Make him your master. Make him your savior. Say yes to Jesus. He's waiting for a generation of people who will live fearlessly for him and continue to say yes. Tonight I challenge you, take a step out, take another step forward, do not look back, and say yes to Jesus tonight. Because Jesus wants all of you. He's after your heart. Each and every single one of you. He has a pursuing, never giving up, never quitting type of love for you. And before your days even started, when you were just forming in the womb of your mom, womb. When you were forming in her womb, he said, this is the one that I loved and that I called by name and that I know every single hair on her head, on his head. I know the hopes and dreams that he has. I gave them to you. And I'm calling them to life. Will you say yes to me? He's drawing you to himself to have all of you. And he is not a God that shares. He is a gentleman, but he is not a God that shares. He will not share the throne of your heart with anyone else. He said, dude, get that girl out of my throne. He wants all of your heart. Ladies, he wants all of your heart. He doesn't want you sharing that with your love for fashion or your love for the next boy's attention. He wants all your heart and he won't share it. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be master. He wants to be ruler. He wants to be reigner. He wants to be the Lord of your present, your past, and your future. He wants it all. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? That threw me off. So turn with me in your Bibles to John 3:16. This is like, you know, don't think you know where I'm going because you have no idea. John 3:16. All right. Are you there? Because if you're there, I do not hear any pages turning. Do you all have iPhones on your Bibles? Okay. Thank you for some people who bring their Bibles to church. It's awesome. All right. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. What are we judged? For not believing. not for behaving poorly, but because we don't believe. Because we don't believe in his son. Because we don't put our hope in the eternal one. That's what we're judged for. And judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than they loved the light. And their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Jesus loved you so much that he gave up everything. He gave up his glory in heaven, his cushy seat in heaven, his glorious seat, his awesome throne, to come and make himself the least of these for you. By name, he said, I'm doing it for you. He gave it up. He laid down his body, he laid down his soul, he gave up his will for you. And Paul reminds us that Jesus demonstrated the greatest love by dying for his people while they were still turned against him. While you still hated God, while you were still far away from him, while your hearts were still stone cold towards him and your ears were deaf and your eyes were blind, he loved you and he laid his life down for you so that you might have a way to know him, because he loved you. Because he wanted you. Because when you were forming in your mother's womb, he said, I made that one for my glory, for my kingdom. Because they have potential kingdom energy. And they need, the world needs them to fill their spot. To stand up. To say yes. Look, he's not a God who sees in little time slots. He sees from beginning to end. He is not defined by time. Your mistakes, your past, the future problems you're going to have, issues, whatever, are no big thing. Do not let them trip you up from your destiny in Christ. He laid down his life for you, for your potential, for your destiny, so that you would be able to know him and know him fully and know him well. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This is in Romans 5:8, if you guys want the reference. There is no greater love than to lay one's life down for their friends. This is exactly what Jesus did. While we were still sinners, he said, I'm going to make them my friend. Though they are far away from me, though they want nothing to do with me, though their hearts are cold and they are disobedient and wicked, and though they choose themselves over me time and time again, I'm laying my life down for them because I want them to be my friend. I want them to be my lover. I want all of them. I want their heart. And so he lays himself down. Love, in order to survive, must be nourished by sacrifices, especially sacrifices of themselves, of self. Of the self. Did you get it? Write it all down. Love, in order to survive, must be nourished by sacrifices, especially sacrifice of self. In his passion, and this is in John, we're actually going to go to Luke, I think it's in. Luke, in his passion, Luke chapter 23. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And he's burning with passion because he's about to be crucified. And he's beginning to feel the weight of what's about to happen. Total separation from God. Your penalty for your sin. Your penalty. Complete and utter darkness. Complete separation from God. No hope, no love, no joy. No satisfaction. He's beginning to feel your weight, your penalty, your sin, and it's crushing him. And he's weeping and he's crying out to his dad. He's like heaving, sobbing. Father, if you're willing to take this cup away from me, do it. Take it away. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Pain like nobody has ever encountered. Weight like nobody's ever encountered. Darkness. Loneliness. Like nobody's ever encountered. Not your will. Not my will. Your will be done. In other translations, it says, do with me what you want. You know, a lot of commentaries say that the passion that he was feeling inside the garden was more traumatic, more heavy, more harsh than the actual crucifixion. And they believe this because in the garden, what he was actually crucifying at that moment was his free will. Jesus was fully man. He had every desire, just like we have, the desire to get up and walk away when something gets difficult. The desire to say, nope, that's too much. You cannot have that. I will not give it to you. And we hang on to it for dear life because we know that's the thing that Jesus wants from us. And we say, no, I won't give it to you because I can choose. And we're not as deliberate about that, but that's exactly what we say to him. And this is what he was doing. He was crucifying his free will. He was crucifying his choice. He was crucifying his heart, his spirit. And then he went to the cross and his body was crucified also. They were made the same. But in the garden, that wrestling match was over his spirit, was over his heart, his choice to get his will in alignment with his Father's. Jesus loved the world so much that he sacrificed himself for everyone. There is no person type, no personality type, no, you know, type A, big wig, richy, poor, whatever personality that you can box somebody into that person is not meant for Jesus. He is the solution. His sacrifice is for everyone. Jeremiah 31:3 says this. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Later in Romans, it says it's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his mercy and his loving kindness that draws people into him and then sets them free. When we can accept that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and we begin to repent for those things that have separated us from him, we experience one with him. We have all the love, all the joy, all the satisfaction of Jesus. And it's given to us in an instant. If I can have our worship team come up, I have a few things and they're just going to kind of like play instrumentally in the back to set the mood. But I have a few things and I want you to think about them because there's two calls here. One is for those who have already received the power of salvation. You are those who believe and who have eternal life. You've already accepted that he is your Lord and he is your master, but we love him because he first loved us. And we're filled with a heart of gratitude towards Christ for the way he plucked us up out of the world and set his affection on us. And brought us to our knees at one point or another and said, your way sucks. Let me show you a better way. Your way got you here. Let me show you a better way. And we said, I need that. I am sick and I am tired of doing it my way. And he plucked us up out of the world. He chose us. We didn't choose him. And he poured his love out on us and he transformed us and he made us new. He gave us a new nature and we became new creations. And then in John 3:30, he says, Paul is saying this, and he says, he must become greater and greater and I must become less and less. And this must be our suit. This must be our pursuit for the rest of our life, that Jesus would become greater and that we would become less and less. It would be a consuming fire, a flame burning in our hearts that consumes our selfish nature, the desire to put our selfish tendencies above Christ, and we honor him above ourselves. We make sacrifices of ourselves. For our love for him is nourished and it flourishes when we honor him and we love him more than we love ourselves, than we love our plans. We love him more than our hope and our promises and doing it by human nature and by human efforts. We choose Jesus and we say yes. We have to let go of the I know best or I just feel and actually ask Jesus, what do you want? Do with me what you want and take time and pray about it. Say yes to Jesus. The promise of renouncing yourself, if you are already saved and you have the hope of glory and you have the miracle working power of God living inside of you, then your promise is that the more that you renounce your own will, the more you will fall in love with Jesus. The more you let go of yourself, the more that you give it up. To die is to gain, right? It's opposite in the kingdom of God. It's all inverted. It's backwards. When we don't watch out for ourselves, when we watch out for others, when we lay ourselves down for our friends, we give up when we go up in the kingdom and we get closer to Jesus. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't be afraid of trusting Jesus and saying yes to Jesus because you think he's going to take everything away from you if you say yes. Don't be afraid of saying yes to Jesus. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Say yes to Jesus and encounter his power, encounter his presence, encounter intimacy, encounter an adventure. There are places in your heart, there are places in your relationships that you have not allowed Jesus to have the yes spot yet. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus? The second call is for those of you who have not made a decision to follow God. You're still far away from him and you're deliberately choosing, or you know better and you continue to choose not to follow him. This is your chance to say yes to Jesus, to say, I'm not going back. I'm not going to be the same person. I am going to say yes to Christ. I'm going to put him on the throne of my heart. I'm going to kick everybody else off the throne of my heart. And Jesus is going to be the one who rules. He's going to be the one who reigns. He's going to be the one who sets me free because I can see that my ways have got me nowhere. My ways suck. And I'm going to choose not to suck, but to be awesome. Because I don't want any one of you, and this is like nitty gritty. Here's the bottom line. If we don't choose Jesus, if you don't choose Jesus, what you choose in this life, you will get for all eternity. So if you choose no Jesus in this life, you get no Jesus in the eternal life. So that means separation from everything good that you've ever known. Complete darkness, complete terror, complete fear. He is all that you need. He is all that you've ever wanted, and you just don't know it yet. He's all you ever hoped for and imagined, and the best that this world has to offer, the best that the next world has to offer. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Come on. Don't you see how wonderfully kind and patient he has been with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness has intended to lead you towards repentance? This is the Bible. I'm not talking out of what I know. It says it in Romans 2:4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind and patient and tolerant God has been with you? Come on, how many of us have made stupid decisions? I don't want to be stupid anymore. How many of us have regrets that have left us in pain? Come on, all of us can raise our hands to this. Every single one of us has done something we wish we wouldn't have done. And some of us have been left with the regret and the pain of those decisions for way too long. Jesus can take away that pain. Jesus will bring healing to your heart. And he has paid the penalty for those bad decisions. And he doesn't hold them against you, but you have to accept the price that he paid for you. You have to accept it, or that promise is not for you. And you stand in judgment. Total separation from God. And it goes on and it said, but because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sins, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge every one according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves and for those who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. It's your turn to say yes to Jesus, to accept salvation, to rededicate your heart to Christ. Your time, your number is up. He's calling your name. His loving kindness is after you. So I want you guys to stand up, everybody, and just push your chairs at the side. All right, come back right quickly into the middle. Just fill it up. Get ready. Because this is your chance. This is your opportunity to say yes, to go deeper, to go there, to say yes to God in a way that you haven't before. Don't leave this auditorium. Don't leave. Don't miss out. Stay engaged. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. He's after all of you. What would happen if we had a generation of young people who said yes to God? What would happen? We have no idea. More than we could ever hope for. More than we could ever imagine. More than we can ever dream of. People would be healed. People would be set free. People would be celebrating with joy. Heaven would be rejoicing. Heaven would be coming down to earth. Come on, how many of you want to see miracles happen? How many people want to see their friends set free of depression and heartache and pain? How many of you want to see your girlfriend stop making dumb decisions over another guy? Stop seeing their hearts get broken. Come on, I am ready to see a generation of women who know who they are, who aren't afraid of who they are, to be fierce for Jesus. I'm ready to see a generation of men who are not afraid to stand up for God, not afraid to stand up for their families, not afraid to pursue a woman with honor and integrity. And to say what's up and no having this ambiguous gray area. It's pissing me off, honestly. I want to see Jesus have a seat in our high schools and in the way that we behave and the way that we talk and the way that we treat each other, the way that we treat our parents. Come on, it's time to say yes. It's time to say yes to Christ. To love Jesus generously, to trust him, to go forward without looking back. Don't allow anything to interfere with your love for Jesus. You belong to him. Nothing can separate you from him. He is your joy and he is your strength. Close your eyes and just start praying. I want you to talk to Jesus. You start making it personal to you. And I'm just going to list off stuff that I feel like the Lord asked me to say. Make it personal. Nobody miss this opportunity. Don't miss out. He's after your heart. Temptations and difficulties will come your way. They're a guarantee. But if you say yes to Jesus, nothing will break you. When you relinquish and you abandon yourself, you will go through the valley. You will go to the depths. You will walk through the flames and come out on the other side, shining brighter, unburned, and full of joy. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is a miracle working power in the name of Jesus. And if you need a miracle, if you need hope, if you need a destiny, if you need a plan for your life and it's not working out for you, call out on the name of Jesus. If you are terrified that you don't know where your eternal security lies, call out on the name of Jesus. If you need hope because you're so stressed out and you're so overwhelmed and you can't make sense of life itself, call out on the name of Jesus.
Going to keep playing for a few more minutes. Just want to give you guys an opportunity to really make this personal, to really let Mariah's word and just the challenge sink in and give you a chance to not sing the words that we're going to sing in a few minutes, but to say your own words to Jesus. Say what's in your heart. Be real with him. That's what he wants. He wants us to be real. I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Just do that. I invite you. As we get into worship right now, I want you to think about this. I'm not here for you, and you're not here for me. We're here for Jesus. As David said, we will become more undignified than this. So I encourage you, worship like it's just you and Jesus in the room. Get on your face, scream out loud, do whatever. Just be real with him. Open up your hearts to him. Come forward, fill this place. Let's worship together, but let's worship individually. We are here to show our love and affection to Jesus. Just like we're being challenged. When we give it all away, when we give it all up for Jesus, it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter if we look stupid or we think we look stupid. This is about Jesus. This is about loving him and showing him that we're thankful, that we want to be in his presence. Jesus, we love you so much. I just pray that we would go deep tonight, deeper and deeper. Sing with me now. Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. Oh, I am seeking again. Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. my whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence, at your throne, I called. I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Sing that again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I wanna sing those verses again. Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. Yes, Jesus, all I am. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence and your throne. Let's make this real tonight. Make in your heart. Say yes to Jesus. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Sing that again, sing it out. I called and he answered, oh! I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are in my life. Oh, my life be lifted high, and our world be lifted high, and our love be lifted high. Sing it again. Yeah. My life be lifted high, in our world be lifted high, in our love be lifted high. Sing that again. Yes, be lifted high, Jesus. Oh, in my be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high. Yes. call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Yes, Jesus, I call. I call,
you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
In my life, let's go back to that. In my life,
be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high. My life. Be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high.
Okay, so if you're in that group and this is your first, this is the first group of people I want to respond to this message. If you haven't accepted Jesus, if you have never had a moment where you know that you know there's a marker in your life, a road marker that says this was the day that I gave my heart to Jesus. This was the moment that everything became new. This is the moment that my eyes were opened and I counted the cost and I chose him because I needed him. I didn't add him to my life to make it better. I needed him. I needed a savior. I needed to be rescued. Then I want you to respond. This spot right here, I believe, needs to be filled with those people who have not chosen Jesus for themselves ever. If you can't think of a day, then you should be up here. I want you to be bold. I want you to be brave. And start responding. If you need somebody to walk you by the hand, take you by the hand and walk you up here, grab a buddy. Because we're doing it. We're going there. Second, if you need a fresh start, you're far from Jesus. You might have accepted him at one point or another in your life. You believe that he's real, but you've lost that passion. You've lost that fire. You're dull. Your spirit is dull. It's been dormant. And you need new life. You need a fresh filling. And you want to mark a new spot in your life. Don't wait until camp. Come on. Don't wait until you're at camp to make these decisions. Let's make them now so we can start deeper when we get there. So nobody's like running up here, so I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you guys to come up here. Make a bold movement. It says yes. Reckless abandonment means moving. Don't be afraid of saying yes to Jesus. Jesus, we believe that you are here. We believe today is the day of salvation, God. We believe that you want to start with us. God, we want to be a willing generation, willing to say yes, willing to go, willing to move, willing to shout, willing to dance, willing to pray, willing to get crazy for you. God, I pray that you would move on the hearts of these young people. God, those who need to make a choice for you, who know without you they will be separated from you for eternity. One. Two, three, if you need Jesus, come on up here. If you need a fresh start, come on up here. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Grab somebody if you're afraid and have them come up here with you. Awesome. Can we celebrate? For those who won't be ashamed of the gospel. God, I thank you, Lord, for those who will not be ashamed of their love for you. Come on, it is not too late. It's not too late to respond. If your heart is pounding out your chest, your hands are getting sweaty, there's tears in your eyes, and you know that you need to respond, you don't have a day. You can't think of a time when you gave your heart to Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And get up here. I know there are more of you. I know there are more of you. I know there's more of you who need to get close to God. You've been distant, you've been far away, and you need to be closer to Jesus. Can we get some? Bring it around. We're starting fresh. We're starting new. Today marks the day of your salvation. Today starts the day of a new creation. Today marks the start of a new beginning in Christ. June 12th, remember it. Heaven is celebrating right now because you guys are adding numbers to the kingdom. And let me tell you, this will not be a day that is forgotten. And these people who are praying over you right now, they will help you on this journey. I want you in your own words. I'm not going to say a prayer because there's no prayer. If you believe in him, you believe in him. But there is no specific prayer to get into heaven. You tell him what you need. You tell him how you feel. You confess those sins that you know have separated you from him. I pray that you would bless each person who's come up here, Jesus, for their boldness. That they would be people who are not afraid to move. When culture tries to hold them back, when friends try to hold them back, they would throw off those bindings, God. They would throw off those chains. You can't hold me down. I am sold out for Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of my life. No one else. I will not be controlled by the fear of man. I'm controlled by Jesus. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to the righteousness of Christ. You tell him how you feel. keep praying over each other. But also, if you're just standing there and you're just praying for somebody who's like in the middle, I want you to turn to every person next to you or around you. Every single person in this room needs to be asked this question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted him? And I'm saying point blank in your face. Like, have you ever had the opportunity to accept Jesus? Would you want the opportunity to accept him today? People in the back, people in the back, people on the side. Everybody needs to be asked. And don't pass up this opportunity. Don't pass up this moment. Ask each other this question. Have you said yes yet? Have you said yes yet? Because the King of Kings is here and he's knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let him in? Some people might run away from the question. They need to be asked anyways. We need people who will be bold and unafraid to ask people the question, do you know Jesus? And after you've done that, I want you guys to continue to worship God, continue to pray about the areas of your heart that you need to say yes in.